Yeah, good afternoon. I am very grateful to the Phillips Institute for inviting me to present my work here, and especially to Professor Tom Hart. Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about a topic which is perhaps not a standard in mathematical finance. It is about the here we are interested in the optimal control of debt. Okay? Well, the idea of this research came last summer. Last summer I was, as you may remember, on television, in the newspapers, in general in the news, they were talking about the debt problems of the United States. And in particular, there were discussions about a term called debt ceiling. Some politicians or economists were saying that the debt ceiling should increase, while people should said that no, that level was perfectly fine. Yes, anyway, that was an important problem, and then that motivated me to work on this. Also, as I was just listening or reading the news, yes, they were. I understand. Well, the debt ceiling could be perhaps too high or too low. There should be. I was suspecting that there must be an equation to find the optimal level of the debt ceiling. Also, I was observing that what governments do is they are observing the debt, and from time to time they decide to intervene. So that also made me suspect that perhaps this could be modeled as a stochastic control problem. In stochastic control, what you do, you observe something, and from time to time you make decisions, probably to optimize, to maximize or to minimize something. Okay? Well, then again, that gives me the idea that trying to formulate this problem of the government as a problem, as a mathematical problem of a stochastic control. Okay? Well, then that originated this work, and this is a joint work with Ricardo Guaman, who is my new PhD student. And he's also, he's a student in the Department of Mathematical Sciences of the University of Alberta. Okay? So I'm going to talk then today about optimal government debt control, and in particular, I'm going to show you an explicit formula for the optimal debt ceiling. Well, why study the government debt control? First, because government debt is a key macroeconomic and financial variable. Well, debt can trigger an economic crisis. Well, I was telling you what motivated my work. It was just observing the news during the last summer. But indeed, during the last month, things got worse in many countries. And you can also have seen the news problems in Italy or in Portugal or in Spain. All these problems which are related to debt crisis. Okay? And the debt crisis affects not only one country, but also can affect, if one country gets in trouble with its debt, it can also have an effect on other countries. Okay. Well, then, trying to look at the literature, I discover that there is not really a stochastic control model, for the control of the debt. Okay. There is no theoretical model to analyze the optimal debt ceiling. And even worse, there is not any formula, I couldn't find any formula for the optimal debt ceiling. Okay. So this is what I'm trying to do. So I want to study this problem. And in particular, after we get the formula for the optimal debt ceiling, we would like to see how the debt ceiling, how the optimal debt ceiling is affected by these variables, which are interest rate on debt, economic growth, concern regarding debt, debt volatility, and the cost of controlling debt. Okay. Well, now we start really the government debt control. Because there is uncertainty in the economy, we need to consider a stochastic model. Okay? And usually we think like this. We consider a complete probability space where omega p endowed a filtration ft, which is the p augmentation or the filtration generated by a one-dimensional Brownian motion. Well, in simple terms, I just want to say the government is observing a Brownian motion, so we think that the information that the government has is the information generated by the Brownian motion. Okay? So at any point in time, we call this ft here. At each time t, ft represents the information that the government has, and this is generated by, and the uncertainty is generated by the Brownian motion. Okay? Then we want to study this debt ratio. So the debt ratio x of a country is defined by this. At any point in time, the debt ratio is a quotient in which we have in the numerator the total debt at time t, and we divide this by the gross domestic product, the gross domestic product at time t. Okay? So we are going to pay special attention to this, okay? How to control in an optimal way this. Okay? Well, then we propose the following dynamics. We think that X is an FT-adapted stochastic process that follows these dynamics. Okay? So we follow these dynamics. Well, now I'm going to explain you about these dynamics. Well, suppose for a moment that we don't pay attention to this Z. Okay? Actually, this Z is going to show how the government intervenes. But for a moment, forget about this part. Just think about this. Well, as you see, here we have XT satisfies this equation. So at time zero, this is the dead ratio. Then here we have a drift term, and here we have a diffusion term. Okay? So this part here is not exactly new. We wanted to see what was a model for the debt ratio. And then we found that some textbooks in macroeconomics who propose a discrete time model for the debt ratio when there is no control. So if there is no control, they have a model in discrete time is very similar to this. So this is the continuous time version. This is the continuous time version of a discrete time model that appears in some books in macroeconomics. For instance, there is a standard book by Blanchard, okay? A classical book. Okay, so this is this part, and in this part, this coefficient is the difference between two things, R and G. Here R is the interest rate on debt, and this G is the rate of economic growth. Okay? So this part is about the drift. Then regarding this diffusion term, here this sigma is the volatility. Okay? So this part, we think that the dynamics would change according to this if the government would not intervene. But we know from that, from time to time, the government decides to intervene. And these interventions are denoted by Z. Okay, so Z is going to represent the changes in the debt ratio, and this is decided by the government. Okay, so here we say mu is like this. So these are constants, this is a constant. R represent the interest rate on debt, G is the rate of economic growth, and sigma is the volatility. And then the initial debt ratio of the country is denoted by lowercase x. Well, here we say sometimes the government decides to intervene, and this intervention is represented by the process Z. So the process Z represents the cumulative primary balances that come as a result of interventions to reduce the debt ratio. Okay? Since Z represents the cumulative interventions to reduce the debt ratio, then Z is formally, well, from using some mathematical expressions, adapted. Adapted means that, well, the government has to make decisions, but without knowing the future. We mentioned here in our notation that this FT is the filtration. This is a mathematical term, filtration, but in practice it represents information. Okay? So we are saying here that Z is formally adapted, so the government has to decide when to intervene, how much to intervene, but he needs to make this decision without knowing the future. Yes? He will know only the past and the present. Then we assume that it is non-negative, okay, because it is reducing the debt. And here we assume that this is non-decreasing. The non-decreasing is stochastic control process defined by this. Okay? So this, for each time t and for each state of the world omega, it needs to decide about a number greater or equal than zero.
But what happens when the government decides to increase debt, like they want to spend more?
Increase the debt?
Of course, yeah. Like
the
stimulus, just increase the debt,
they have $700 billion. No, but this will not decide to increase the debt by itself. Perhaps it will have, that term will come probably here. At most, we can hear as an error.
No.
But the government, you never seen the government, oh, we want to increase the debt. No, never. Well, I don't know if we are talking about the same thing. I never seen the news that the government is worried because it wants to increase the debt. But perhaps what they want to do is, for instance, reduce taxes, these kind of things, or spend more. But this part would be represented in that case here, R. Okay. As I told you, in the news they are worried about the very high debt, and they think we are going to reduce the debt. They are never worried about increasing debt. Well, stimulating economy, they could really reduce taxes.
No,
or well, okay, then let's for a moment consider this, okay, and then perhaps we discuss this later. Well, then the government wants to select a control that minimizes the total cost, and the total cost comes from two terms, this part and this part. And this part represents the cost of having debt. So here, well, I think I wrote this part first. Okay, so here K represents a proportional cost. So when there is a reduction of the debt, the government has to pay a cost which is K. K is a positive number. K represents a proportional cost, and this is a positive number. This lambda is just a discount rate here, and H is a cost function, which we assume non-negative and convex. Yeah, this is the cost of having debt. To be more precise, we say this. In this problem, H of XT represents the adverse financial and real consequences of the on the economy for having a debt ratio XT at time T. Okay? So this is the cost for having debt. Well, to be more specific, we want to assume, well, we said that we would like, because it's a cost function, we want non-negative and a convex function. So in particular in the paper, we discuss this. We assume that the AH takes this form. Alpha is just a constant, a positive constant. Here this term, x to the power 2n, and here beta. Beta is just a constant too. So here alpha is a positive constant, beta is a positive constant, and n greater or equal than 1 is an integer number. Okay? So the larger the value of n, the more adverse the country is to high levels of the debt ratio. Okay, so the larger the n, the worse for the government to have debt. Okay? Well, alpha represents the importance of debt because, after all, in this formula, we have one part here alpha and one part here k. What is worse, having a debt or reducing the debt? Okay? So these things are represented by the alpha and the k. So alpha represents the importance of the debt, any aversion towards the debt ratio, and beta is a scale parameter. Well, the Hilbert-Weinstein set represents the cumulative reduction of the debt ratio until time t. The cost generated by the debt reduction is easy to identify and comes as a result of fiscal adjustments, which can take the form of raising taxes or reducing expenses. Okay? Well, K represents the marginal cost of debt reduction, that is, for each unit of debt ratio reduction, the government has to pay this cost, which is K, which is a positive number. Well, as an example of a policy, one possibility is that the government decides never to intervene. If the government decides never to intervene, then we will, in this equation, we will take this debt as a zero, forever. If the government decides never to intervene, that would be an example of a policy, then this would be a zero, and they will have only this part. But here, you have this part, and you recognize that this is a geometric Brownian motion, and we know what is the solution of a geometric Brownian motion. What is the species formula for a geometric Brownian motion? So we have them. If the government decides never to intervene, then Z is identical equal to zero, and XT is like this. Okay? Then what happens here? What happens when we replace it here? So that part will vanish, and then we just need to compute this expected value. In that case, we will have this part zero. This way we continue without doing some computations, and then we see this. If Z is equal to zero, if Z is identical equal to zero, if the government never decides never to intervene, then the total cost will be like this or like this, depending if this is positive or if this is less or equal to zero. So this is an interesting, well, here we have a combination of the parameters. If this is positive, we get this, which is going to be finite, okay? But if this is less or equal to zero, we will get infinity. Okay? Well, then we say that the policy of no intervention is the policy of never intervening is finite if and only if this is positive. Okay? If this is positive, everything will be finite. If this is less or equal than zero, then we will get something here, infinite. The total cost would be infinity. Okay? Well, but since the government we want to find the policy that minimizes all this total cost. Yes, the total cost. So if there is a policy for which this is infinity, then for sure that cannot be optimal. Again, we want to minimize this. So if there is a policy for which this is infinity, this cost, total cost is infinity, then for sure it cannot be the optimal policy. Okay, so this is the comment that we made here. Well, then we define, motivated by that, we define then the so-called admissible control process. Then from now on, we are going to consider only those controls. So first, suppose that the initial debt ratio is a positive number. Then we want an adapted, non-negative, and non-decreasing stochastic control process Z with sample paths that are left continuous with right limits. It's called an admissible stochastic singular control if the total cost generated by this policy is finite. Okay? And then we are going to define all the denote all the admissible controls by this, okay? By a calligraphic A. Well, now we continue with this discussion. It will be particularly important to compare the no-intervention policy with the optimal control policy. That motivates us that we would like to have the no-intervention policy as admissible. That will allow us to make a comparison. Yes, so from now on, we are going to assume then this condition. Furthermore, this is not about assumption, because in reality, the governments care much more about the present than about the future. The general government is much more concerned about the present cost than about the future cost. And that indicates that the government, a typical government, will have this value of land very large. Land is the discount rate. So a government will have, in practice, a very large lambda, because they care more about the present than about the future, in practice. Okay, okay, then the government, here I'm formulating formally then the stochastic control problem. The government wants to select the control Z that minimizes the functional J defined by this. Okay, and we have modeled the problem of the government as a stochastic singular control problem. Yeah. And then we define the value function. The value function is the minimum cost that can be achieved when the government considers all the possible admissible strategies. So this is represented by the value function. And just looking at the definitions, it is easy to obtain the following properties: that the value function is non-negative, is convex, and increasing. Furthermore, the value function for values very close to zero approaches beta over lambda. So it's actually, this is then the definition of the value function, and then it is easy to do some operations here and get these properties for the value function. Well, then we are going to discuss Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation. For that, first we need to make this definition. Let's see via function, which is twice continuously differentiable, and then we define the differential operator L in this way. So for this operator L acts like this. Whenever we give him a function which is twice continuously differentiable, he will take the second derivative, the first derivative, and the function itself, and we'll make this combination with x and with the other parameters, and it will give us this. Okay? So then this is the definition of the differential operator L. Well, and then for a singular control problem, this would be then the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation. Another way to write the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation is through variational inequalities. Okay? So we want that the function V, we are looking for a function V which satisfies this condition, or equivalently, we are looking for a function V which satisfies these three conditions. First, this, second, this, and third, this one. Okay? So in particular, for instance, this part here, they are equivalent. It is possible to prove that this occurs if and only if this occurs. These two things, it's possible to prove that these two things are equivalent. Okay? For instance, here, yes, in order that this minimum be zero, this must be greater or equal than zero. This must be greater or equal than zero, which is the repetition here. And also, in order that this, the minimum of these two things is zero, then at least one of these terms must be zero. And that thing can be also expressed by this. Okay? So these two things are equivalent. This is one way to write the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation, and this is another way to write it. Okay? Well, if we now solving this might be difficult, but suppose for a moment that we are lucky and find a solution for this. Well, if we find a solution for this, then we can define two regions. One is going to be denoted by Z, another one is going to be denoted by sigma. Okay? Z like this, and sigma like this. It is possible to prove that they partition the interval 0 infinity into two parts. Okay? Anyway, once we have the solution, we can define these two things. And then, suppose again that we manage to solve the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation. Suppose for a moment that we solve it. And then this solution is going to generate a control. Okay? So let V be a solution of the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation, and then an FT non-negative and non-decreasing control process Z is said to be associated with the function V if the following three properties are satisfied. So first, try to solve this one, and this solution is going to generate a control, and this control is described here. Well, first of all, this control acts like this. It is going to reduce the depth ratio. So this is the same equation that we saw here before at the beginning. So at the beginning we had this equation. We say, okay, here the role of Z is to reduce the depth ratio. Well, here we are repeating the same thing. If we manage to find a solution V of the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation, then this will generate a control, and the control generated by V will do this. So at each point in time, this will reduce the depth ratio. We allow this to reduce. Sometimes it will be zero, but in other times this would be positive. Okay? Anyway, this consists in reducing the depth ratio. Second, is that this control will do the following. Will operate in such a way that the depth ratio is always going to be in the closure of the set C. Okay? And third, we have this equation that says that, well, as you see here, this part is positive, this part is positive. Actually, this is the indicator of this event. Okay, the indicator of this event, and here this is the differential of the control Z. And remember that we are assuming that the Z is non-decreasing, so this part is always greater or equal than zero. How can it be possible that this is greater or equal than zero, this is greater or equal than zero, and we get zero? Well, that is possible only when the following happens. Whenever this occurs, then Z must be zero. Okay, so in other words, Z is going to be constant when the depth ratio is in the set C. Okay? So there are not going to be interventions when the depth ratio is in the set Z. Okay? So in other words, when the X is in Z, then this differential of Z must be zero. Okay? So Z will be constant, or there will not be any intervention in the set Z. Okay? So that is what we are saying. First, try to solve the Hamilton-Jacobian equation. This will generate a control, and this control is described here. Now you might be wondering what has been happening during the last minutes, because at the beginning we were saying, okay, we have a very important problem in economics. This one, okay, we want to reduce the total cost. Okay. And now we started to talk about mathematics, because after all, this equation that you see here, apparently it has no connection with economics. Here we are just trying to solve mathematical problem. Look for a function B which satisfies this. Or equivalent, look for a function B which satisfies this. This is mathematics. Then what is the connection? Perhaps this is what you are wondering now. What is the connection? Well, the connection is that if we manage to solve this, if we find a function B which satisfies this, and in addition, there are some regularity conditions which are satisfied, then we will get the solution. This is the verification theorem that we have. Okay, this is going to be then the verification theorem. Again, we are going to spend this here 2 pages of the slide, but it will say, first try to solve the Hamilton-Jacobian equation. Okay, so let V be a function which is twice continually differentiable. Suppose that V is increasing, a convex function, and has this property. Okay? Suppose that V satisfies the Hamilton-Jacobian equation, and that the set C will have this form, will be just an interval, like this, an interval of form 0D, where D is a positive number. Then we'll get this. We will have, on one hand, here the left-hand side, we have the solution of the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation, and here we have the total cost for a control. Okay? So for every control, for every admissible control, we will have this inequality, that the solution of the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation will be less or equal than the cost generated by this control. Okay? And now the interesting thing. Well, so this V generates a control. We discussed this. Well, if this the control generated by the solution of the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation is admissible, then we will have this. That V, the solution of the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation, coincides with the total cost generated by this special control. Okay? What does this say then? If for every control we have this, and for this special control we have this, that means that this Z minimizes, this ZV minimizes the total cost. Okay? So then this is the optimal. So in other words, this Z hat, this one, is the optimal control, and this solution of the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation is exactly the value function. Okay? So again, first try to solve the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation, then see if these regularity conditions are satisfied, and after that, if we do all that, then we will get a solution. Okay? Because the control generated by B will be the optimal control, and the value function is the solution of the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation. Please ask me.
What is the connection between the control Z and the
admissible
V? Admissible. What is the
association? I don't think I ever saw how Z depends on V. Okay. Let's see. Okay, first, we try to solve the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation. Yes. Yes, if we have the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation, if we solve this, then we will have a region C. Which this Z depends on V. And then this sigma is also dependent on V. Yes, then, perhaps I could have written in a better notation. Well, I could have written C equals C parenthesis V to indicate, to reinforce the idea that this C is not just any C, this depends on V. Different V's will give different V's. So DC depends on V, and D sigma depends on V. Well, now that we have this C and sigma, which depend on V, then you see here, DC depends on V. Okay, DC here depends on V. So here, this is the connection. If we find the solution of the Hamilton-Jacobian equation, then DC is going to depend on V, and DC is also going to depend on V. Yeah, any process, any process satisfies this. But this equation has been studied before, so similar, and it has improved. Well, when we go later to the final, to the solution, when I explain you the solution, I will mention, well, actually, we don't know if such a set exists. Perhaps we can never find a control Z and control X will satisfy all these things. Perhaps, in this moment, that's a possibility. But this equation were studied before by a Russian, well, or Ukrainian, Skorohov. And he did a work saying that these kind of equations, there is a solution for these kind of equations. Well, I will mention that at the end. Well, yes, but I tell you, well, of course, in this moment, you could ask me, how do I know that the solution of such a thing exists? That would be a very valid question. Okay. Anyway, for the moment, just keep this thing like that. Later, I will mention that result. Okay, what we were doing here, okay. Anyway, again, I repeat. First, try to solve this V. Check that some regularity conditions are satisfied. Then we will have the optimal control and the value function. Well, now how are we going to use this verification theorem? The idea is that we are going to make some conjectures to get a candidate for optimal control and a candidate for value function. Just a candidate. And after we get the candidate, then we will check that indeed this candidate is the optimal control and the value function. Okay? So for the next few minutes, I'm going to just make some conjectures. Because there are going to be some conjectures, I apologize, there is not much rigor. But in the paper, we prove formally that such conjectures are valid. In other words, we prove rigorously that the candidates are indeed optimal. Okay? So anyway, we are going to make here some conjectures to obtain a candidate for optimal control and a candidate for value function. Then we are going to apply the verification theorem to prove rigorously that the candidate for optimal control is indeed the optimal control and the candidate for value function is indeed the value function. But for the next few minutes, just conjectures. Okay? Yeah, based on what we listen to the news, we are going to see that there is a special number, like a magic number, such that the government never intervenes when the debt ratio is below that number. But as soon as it goes above this number, then the government intervenes. Okay? Then this is our conjecture. We conjecture that there exists a debt ceiling B such that the government should intervene when the debt ratio is greater or equal than B and do not intervene when the debt ratio X is less than B. Okay? Well, if that is the case, if we satisfy the Hamilton-Jacobian equation, we will call this then the continuation region, and then this is going to be called intervention region. Continuation region and intervention region. Okay? Yes. Again, conjectures. Well, then let V be a function satisfy the Hamilton-Jacobian equation and see the corresponding continuation region, and then we say that V is the maximum value in the continuation region. Okay? So the continuation region said, we think, okay, let the maximum value here is going to be denoted by V, and this is our candidate for depth ceiling will have this form. Okay? So if V is equal to the value function, then V is said to be the optimal depth ceiling. Well, so that says here then, that to obtain the optimal depth ceiling, we need to find the value function, because remember, this is associated with that function V. Well, in that case, we are proposing the continuation region like that, and the intervention region like that. Okay? Then we are saying this. We have in the Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation, we are saying, okay, in this should be just an interval of the form 0, V. And this should be an interval of the form V infinity. Okay? So in an interval 0, V, this should be satisfied, and in the interval B infinity, B should be satisfied. Okay? So that gives us some differential equations. A differential equation to solve in the interval 0, B, and differential equation to solve in the region B infinity. Okay? So we go here now. Okay? So in this region, in this interval, we should have this differential equation. This differential equation should be satisfied. In this other part, we should have this. Okay? Yeah. Well, now we operate with this, so in this, for x, for values of x less than b, this differential equation, for values of x greater or equal than b, this differential equation, then we notice that these things are not too difficult. Okay? Well, solving this is not difficult. You see only just for derivative, and here this is also not very difficult. But anyway, so we find the solution. The solution will have this form. If x is greater or equal than b, then v of x will have this form. If x is less than b, we'll have this form, where here we have introduced some constants. Okay, mu tilde is going to be denoted, defined by this, gamma 1, this number here, gamma 1 like this, gamma 2 by this, and it is possible to check that this gamma 1 is negative, gamma 2 is positive, and also there is a constant here, c, that like this, okay, we have all this. So this is, the solution will have this form. In this moment, we don't know yet what is this b. We also do not know what is this b. We don't know what is this a, and we don't know what is this b. For the moment, we are saying the solution will have this form. Okay? Well, we are optimistic, and we are thinking that the function should be twice continuously differentiable. So in our conjecture, we conjecture this. We conjecture that this twice continuously differentiable. Okay? Then we have four unknowns. Again, in this equation, see, there are four things that we don't know. We don't know this, and this. Four things that we do not know. Okay, then we have four unknowns, and we will have four equations. These equations come from this. This part is because a few minutes ago we mentioned that the value function, doing some elementary calculations, the value function should satisfy this. Then we want that the function lowercase b satisfies also this. Okay. Have then this one. So that motivates us to think that this should be valid. And later here we're saying we are hoping that the function is twice continuously differentiable. And now you see here in the terms, everything is fine. See here, the function is, of course, twice continuously differentiable here too. Oh, by the way, yeah, twice continuously, and so the only problem is what happens at B. Okay? Perhaps at B there might be a discontinuity, or perhaps the first derivative is not continuous, or perhaps the second derivative is not continuous, but because we are optimistic for the moment, we are going to hope that the function B, the function is continuous. At the points B, the function is differentiable, and at the point B, the function is twice continuously differentiable. So we are hoping for all these things. Now we have four equations with four unknowns. But actually, this will be very helpful. V of 0 plus equals to V. This is a finite number. Okay? Now we look out to this equation, and now think about the following. So here it says, when x approaches 0, when x goes to 0, we should just get a finite number, a positive finite number. Now we look at this. Well, gamma 2 is positive. Here this is positive. This is a constant. But here gamma 1 is dangerous because gamma 1 is negative. Then you think, well, what happens when x goes to 0? Well, this part is going to explode unless, this part will explode unless a is identical equal to 0. Okay? Then we have this. Well, we're going to see later that a equals 0. Anyway, so we have these things and then some comments that we are, because we are operating with a few things, we check these things. Well, gamma is positive, this occurs, this occurs, this occurs, just looking at these definitions of these constants. Okay? Anyway, we're saying here, this indicates that A, that constant A must be 0. Okay? So we can select then A equal to 0. In that case, we will have then the candidate for value function will have this form, and still we don't know B, we don't know this D, and we don't know D. But we have these three equations then. From these three equations with three unknowns, we will get those numbers. Okay, so we have this, then we take the first derivative, we can take the second derivative, and now we want to check these three conditions, and from these three conditions we will get the unknowns that we are trying to find. Then this is the solution. Three equations with three unknowns. Yeah, the solution is this. The value of B is like this, the value of capital B like this, and the value of capital B like this. Okay? Okay, then we find that explicit solution. See where we are able to find the constants B, well, lowercase b, capital B and D explicitly as a function of the parameters of the model. And why I was so excited about, why I wrote this exclamation mark, why I was so excited? Because this B is the depth ceiling. This is the depth ceiling that we propose. And we are getting an explicit formula for the depth ceiling. Okay. Well, then summarizing all this, up to this moment we see that we only have candidates. Okay. This is our candidate for value function. Well, and once we have this candidate for value function, then we go here this is the candidate for value function. We already have a candidate for value function, and this candidate for value function is going to generate a set C, okay? And then we put it here. So we are, our candidate for, and the C has the form 0B, 0B. Then our candidate for optimal control is like this. Well, it's a control which is going to consist in reducing the ratio. That control will do the following. Will make that the depth ratio stays always in the interval 0b. So this 0b is important. So the control will say that the depth ratio should always be here. Yes, because now c is going to is the interval 0b. So the control will do the following. We'll try that this x always stays here. And here we are saying, well, when the depth ratio is inside the interval 0b, in the interval op, in the open interval 0b, then the control will not act. Okay, so there will not be any intervention when the control is in the open interval 0b. But as soon as it reaches this point b, then it will intervene. Also, if the depth ratio is greater than b, then it will immediately act so that the depth ratio goes to a level equal to b. So that is what we are, these are our candidates for optimal control. Okay. So let's see then. Our candidate for value function is that equation one. Our candidate for optimal control is the control associated with one, which does this. Keep always the depth ratio here. Okay. But do not intervene unless the process reaches the level B or a level higher than B. Okay. Well, moreover, our candidate for optimal depth ceiling is given by this equation two. This is our candidate for optimal depth ceiling. Well, but things are not finished. Up to this moment, we only have candidates. To complete the mathematical results, we prove, well, not here because it will take at least 2 more hours, we prove rigorously that the above candidate for value function, the above candidate for value function is indeed the value function, and the above candidate for optimal control is indeed the optimal control. So when we have the candidates, we go to the verification theorem. This is the verification theorem, and then we see that we have to check that the function V and the candidate satisfy all these things. Yeah, so we do that in the paper with all the detail, and then the conclusion is then that this candidate for optimal control is indeed the optimal control, and the candidate for value function is indeed the value function. We do that in the paper. Here I just put that in one slide. Okay. Well, then the conclusion is this. The value function is given by this, and the optimal depth ceiling is this. Okay, so that is the mathematical conclusion of our paper. Well, here we have the solution. The optimal depth control is then given by this. Well, so the control acts in the following way. It consists in reducing the depth ratio. This control acts like this. It will do the following. It will manage that so that the depth ratio is always in this interval. Okay? Well, here I put the level in the sense that if for some reason at the beginning the depth ratio is greater than B, then it will intervene immediately to bring it to the level B. Okay? And also here we are saying that that control will act in this way. When the depth ratio is in this interval, then there will not be any intervention. Okay? So no interventions when the process is in the interval zero, open interval 0b, when we reach the point b, intervene, so they will not go above b. And if for some reason there is a special time or at the beginning in which the process is above b, they intervene immediately to bring it down to the level b. Okay? So here x hat denotes the depth ratio process generated by the optimal depth control Z. Well, and then one of you asked me about, a very good question, of course, how do we know that such a thing exists? Yeah. Well, there are some results about... there are some results by Skorohod that study similar things, and then using, for instance, a paper by Tanaka, well, then we can be sure that the solution of this equation exists and is unique. Well, the other thing that we wanted to study is about the time to reach the optimal depth ceiling. So suppose that the depth ratio is less than B, and then we're interested at the moment at which the process will reach the level B. So the first time that the depth ratio reaches B. Then we study these things. Well, we got these different results. If we have this condition, means that the depth ratio increases, the growth of the depth ratio is small, then there is the possibility that the projection will never, the debt ceiling will never be reached, and then we also have this thing. The probability of ever reaching it is this less than one. Well, on the other hand, if the debt ratio increases very large, then we can find this probability density function and other things. Okay? Well, here we have some numeric. Yes, then we also have this numerical, well, because we get a clear solution, we can easily make computations. For instance, if these are the value of the parameters, then we find this, that the optimal depth ceiling is given by this number, and the value function will have this form. Okay? Then if you give me any parameter values, I can tell you, well, what is the optimal depth ceiling and what is the value function. Remember, value function means the total cost generated by the control, okay? Or the best that the best that the Carmen can achieve, okay, the minimum cost. Okay. Well, then we want also to study the effects on the optimal depth ceiling and value function. Okay. For instance, we would like to do this. We would like to compare the policy of never intervening with the policy of optimal intervention. Here we will also want to see what is the effect or the cost of intervention, the effect of the economic growth, the effect of debt volatility, effect of the volatility. And we will all that in the paper, and I can also present the results depending on how much time I have. I see that I don't have much time left, so I will try to do quickly. Well, we compare two things. One possibility is that the government never intervenes, okay, and that we call this zero. Or another possibility is that the government follows the policy that we are recommending, which is optimal intervention. Then we compare these two things. This is the cost when the government never intervenes, this is the cost, the total cost when we follow the optimal policy. And then when it is below the optimal debt ceiling, well, with this is positive as expected. And we also compare this is positive as expected. Okay, so here, this represents the advantage of the optimal intervention policy compared to never intervene. So that this confirms that it is always worth to intervene optimally. Okay? Well, because we have a very nice formula for the optimal debt ceiling, we can do some operations. For instance, we can differentiate B with respect to K to see how the optimal debt ceiling depends on the cost of intervention. Well, we can make this computation, we find it's positive. Then, as a consequence, the greater the marginal cost of intervention, the greater the optimal debt ceiling. So, as a comment, in other words, countries with a high cost of intervention, due to political reasons or others, should not tie themselves to a low debt ceiling. On the contrary, they should have a greater debt ceiling. Okay? Well, also make computations as K increases, B goes to infinity. Some recommendation. And then, well, this is expected as the cost of interventions increases, then the value function increases. So the total cost increases when the cost of interventions increase. Then, how much time do I have left? Okay. Well, then effect on the importance of debt. This is this alpha. Alpha is actually has the opposite effect on than K. As you see here in these equations. Yeah, alpha appears here and K appears here. So alpha large means that this is very high in comparison to this below. Or if K is very high, this part will be much more important than this part. So the effects of alpha and K are the opposite. Okay, and then we mentioned that here. Okay. So the effects of K are the opposite. Here, when we analyze the effect of K on B, we are implicitly doing so for alpha, but the results we get are in the opposite direction. Okay. And then this part. And then also interesting how the economic growth can affect the optimal debt ceiling. So we differentiate B with respect to G, we get this equation, this is positive, then the greater the economic growth, G, the higher the optimal debt ceiling. Okay. Well, that is interesting because I don't know what an economist would say about this one, but it seems that you as an economist who has never seen this model, there will be different, this is something which is not very clear. Some might say that as G increases, the optimal debt ceiling should decrease, or as this increases, the optimal debt ceiling should decrease. So these things are not clear. And I think that in that sense, our paper will contribute to this discussion. Okay, so this is what we get in our model. The greater the economic growth G, the higher the optimal debt ceiling. Yes. Well, and here this is not a surprise. As G increases, then B decreases. So this is not a surprise. Well, then we also we study more the economic growth. Well, here we also study debt volatility, the effects on debt volatility, how the optimal debt ceiling changes with respect to the volatility. We find this positive. So when debt volatility increases, the optimal debt ceiling increases as well. And here we have some comments. Well, I am just trying to do this quickly because I know that I don't have much time, so I will go to the summary then. Well, first, increments in the parameter or the marginal cost of intervention K, the rate of economic growth G, or the debt volatility sigma increase the optimal debt ceiling B. Okay? So after we get this model, we can get these conclusions. Okay? Well, in contrast, as the interest rate on debt R increases, the optimal debt ceiling B decreases. Again, and regarding the value function, remember the value function represents the total cost, the minimum cost that can be achieved when we consider all the admissible strategies. So regarding the value function, we find that the higher the economic growth, the lower the expected total cost. All the other parameters have the opposite effect. Okay, then, again, conclusions. Well, I go to this now because of the time constraints. So we have this conclusion. First, we developed, as far as I know, for the first time, the literature, a theory for the optimal control of the debt ratio, including a theory for the optimal debt ceiling. Well, then we obtain, as part of our work, we obtain an explicit formula for the optimal debt ceiling, and this will depend on the different parameters of the model. Okay? And here, this is our recommendation. Well, basically, our recommendation is that first find this number following the equations of the paper, get this number B, and then never intervene if at some point in time the debt ratio is greater than B, they intervene immediately to bring it back to B. If, on the other hand, the debt ratio is below B, then do not intervene. Okay? So that is the recommendation. First use the formula to find B and then follow this. If the actual debt ratio of a country is strictly greater than the debt ratio, debt ceiling C, then it is optimal for the government to reduce the debt ratio to the level B. If the debt ratio is less than B, then the government should not intervene. Well, and then, because we have a specific solution, we can make an analysis, and one of the results is the following. We find, among other results, that an increase in the rate of economic growth increases the optimal debt ceiling. Okay? So these are the main conclusions of our work.